Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It does appear as though the Hawks investigation of the Norwood Police Station in Johannesburg has confirmed that 158 firearms were helped out and stolen. But what is likely to happen as a result of this? This is definitely becoming more and more of a problem. Gideon Daniel Joubert is the founder and editor of Apparatus. He's a board member of Gun Owners South Africa. We've chatted to him before. Gideon, good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard and listeners, and thank you for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this does seem to be becoming more and more of a problem, isn't it? Police stations becoming a soft target?
Well, we've seen several police stations robbed, and if you pardon the use of the phrase, in broad daylight last year, where they were specifically targeted for the contents of the firearm stores and the evidence lockers. And however these firearms were robbed from Norwood Police Station, I need to familiarize myself with exactly the details of that heist, if they were stolen or if they were simply just supplied via corrupt activities to the criminal underworld, a problem that's becoming more and more prolific ever since it was exposed with the arrest of Colonel Prinsloo many, many years ago, that has not gone away, and it has in fact appeared to have gotten markedly worse, especially if you look at the type and caliber of the firearm stolen out of that store itself.
Are these almost stolen to order, given the fact that it's very specific firearms that you've just mentioned?
I'm speculating, but it wouldn't be out of the question at all. If you look at the case, these are R4, R5 automatic rifles, R1s, AK-type firearms, the type of stuff you see used in cash and transit heists predominantly, but they're also being used in other types of heists, you know, especially if you start looking at the hitting of malls, of jewelry stores, any sort of robbery where there is a high-value target, regardless of whether it's cash in transit or other type of asset, movable or immovable, that's a sort of trend we're seeing. An additional concern with this, especially if you look at how closely tied together the criminal underworld is with terrorist organizations, and the fact that there is grave concerns about terror cells actually operating training facilities as well as their own operatives within the borders of SA, with specific reference to Cabo Delgado in Mozambique, it is a concern that these weapons could find themselves into the hands of terrorists to be used against targets here or elsewhere.
It's a complete nightmare, actually, because as much as there's this push towards gun control, if the police can't hold on to their own weapons, that places everybody else at a significant disadvantage and at risk, doesn't it?
Definitely so. And what is also concerning is that SAP 13 evidence locker or store from which many of these guns were apparently stolen, that is where people whose licenses have expired and handed their weapons in under amnesty, where those guns are kept. So here we have a situation of members of the public attempting to apply with an administrative process, handing their guns into the SAPS because it's, you know, the legal thing that they have to do. And those guns that were then previously in their safe possession, in their hands, civilian hands, being stolen out of police custody and being circulated into criminals who then commit crimes with them. And this is the fundamental underpinning issue with stricter gun control. As soon as you look at gun confiscation, the very authorities who are tasked with confiscating these firearms and controlling them are now supplying them to criminals. It's a massive atrocity. The minister should have resigned. All of SAPS top management should have been fired after the first scandal, but we're seeing zero accountability. And unfortunately, I'm not expecting any major accountability for this either, and that is a major part of this problem.
There's a large presumption in what you're saying that I just want to come back to, in that it's almost accepted that this isn't an external element that is stealing these guns, but in fact that there is definitely complicitness from within the SAPS.
Yes, and it's the reason why we are so almost accepting of it is because it's so well documented over the past decade. We have seen numerous cases of high profile police officers with anything from rank to captain all the way up to colonel and possibly even brigadier and higher. And I would not be surprised if some generals are involved in this that have set up lucrative schemes where they are supplying arms to criminals and gangsters and even arms that they've confiscated off them. They are recirculating back into the criminal pool because it is just that lucrative. And I do not know if the authorities have become the number one source of illicit arms for criminals. But as scandalous as it is, we are now at that point where we are, where that is a talking point, as in, do the corrupt police officers supply more firearms to criminals than they take off them in the first place? Or what is the actual situation?
And that, I mean, leads to a number of issues. For somebody who is trying to follow the law, they hand in a gun. That gun, which has previously been registered to them, could be used in a criminal activity, could place that person at risk, I would imagine.
Well, it could through the sheer administrative inefficiency of the police pertaining to if they do not process their side of the paperwork efficiently or properly. I mean, obviously, if that person is implicated incorrectly with his firearm or their firearm being found at a crime scene, you could certainly prove that you had nothing to do with it. You'd have your side of the paperwork squared away. But the fact that
I think that's the lesson is, if you are, to any of our listeners, if you are doing that, if you are surrendering a weapon under the amnesty or for however you would do so, just make sure that you keep a very, very clear copy of everything, because you cannot rely on the fact that the administration on the other side will have done so. And you can't rely on the fact that your gun, in fact, would have been destroyed. Carol Z saying, to my knowledge, I thought those weapons had to be destroyed by melting them at extreme temperatures. Is that not the case?
Well, that is the case. And funnily enough, those are the ones that get stolen the most. So if you hand your firearm in and you apply for a license under amnesty, it may in all effect not go missing because you've not completely forfeited that ownership. But the moment you hand something in for destruction, that seems to be the pool the police, well, the corrupt police officials at least, seem to be drawing from the most, because no one cares what happens to those guns anymore, and it's very easy to make them grow feet and walk away, clearly. Something that shouldn't happen. There should certainly be systems in place to prevent this, but in reality, it appears that there are few, if any.
It's interesting because you're an advocate for private gun ownership, obviously with controls. Does this make your life easier or more difficult?
It's a bittersweet situation, because on the one hand, it just vindicates arguments I've been having for the past 10 years, in the sense of it's a very visceral example of how broken the system is and how desperately it needs complete reform and overhaul and possibly major changes. But on the other hand, it's not something I want. I don't want to see fully automatic military weapons being circulated amongst criminals that are being used to endanger the lives of good people and actually kill them. So I can't, as much as I'd like to say, use this as a own to the authorities. It's not a fun situation for anybody, and it's not something I enjoy seeing.
How confident are you that this is going to be investigated properly?
Zero. I am not confident at all. As we've seen with the aftermath of the Chris Prinsloo saga and all the spin-offs from it, it appears that there are very powerful individuals involved in this, influential individuals and very high-ranking senior cops. And unless we are having a conversation about purging all of SAP's top management and breaking that organization up and federalizing it and starting from scratch, anything else is, from my perspective, doomed to failure. And that's the worst and saddest part of it.
It is indeed. Gideon Daniel Yubera, founder and editor of Paratus and board member of the Gun Owners of South Africa. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us, and thank you for your input into this complex situation.